And at the appropriate time, one of the brethren will pick that card up and will recognize you today. And it's always a pleasure and an honor to be with the family of Northwest here. We thank God for you and all your support and all the work that you are doing in his name. Boy, we got a great deal more to do. We got a great deal more to do. I have recently come and discovered something. Everything that we have power over, God gave it to us. He's allowing us to use it for his benefit, for his glory. And as I've been meditating and thinking deeply about this thought here, I better use all I have for the God to the best of my ability. I mean, if God provided it for me, he expects me to use it. And if I halfway use it, then I'm not giving God the praise and glory that he so richly deserves. So I want to encourage you this morning, whatever God has given you power over, man, use it to the best of your ability. Use it that God may get the glory for it. Your homes, your cars, your clothing, whatever you have in your possession, your bank account, should all be used to glorify God. For he's the one that has blessed your lives with the things you have controlled over. So I pray that you will use it to the best of your ability. I want to get into our lesson this morning. And I want to discuss or talk with you about the difference between behaving and changing. The difference between behaving and changing. I must give credit where credit is due. Dr. Rodney Conley passed these thoughts on to me. He had did a lesson and he shared his lesson with me and told me to use it. And when I got a hold to the paperwork, you know, I had to add some changes because Dr. Conley is a professional man and I'm not so professional. But one thing I am, I'm real. I remember Dennis and I have had many conversations about being real with our Christianity. See, if I'm not real, then I can't help you to overcome some of the things that you need to overcome. So I'm going to tell you the flat out truth, church. That's the best I can give you. It's not to please you with pretty sounding words, but to get right to the heart of the matter and just tell you like it is. I hope you can accept me because all I want to be is real for you. And I certainly hope that you want to be real with me. I read this quote that was passed on to me by Brother Conley. It said, "The mission of the average decent human being." The mission of the average decent human being. Let me define that. Polite, honest, civil, well manageable, respectable, modest, and professional. We can say that that person has great behavior and ethical training, that we can see no wrong in that individual. Good behavior is not necessarily changed behavior in the individual's eternal thoughts of the heart and views on the world. Understand this. You can teach a dog how to behave if you offer him the right treats. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You can teach him not to jump up on you every time you come home. You can teach him how to eat on command. You can teach him how to roll over and play dead. And you can teach him that one vital thing for those of you who have dogs that live in the house. You can teach him how not to use the restroom inside your home. But inwardly, he's still just a dog. Good behavior is not changed behavior in the person on the inside, because evil thoughts can be generated in the minds of that individual, and sooner or later they will come out. Jesus makes this argument very clear while discussing a subject with the Pharisees. Jesus informs them of their fruit that they were bearing. They had good behavior in the eyes of the people, but the fruit that they were producing was bad. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 and 37. I've chose the New Living Translation to define these things, and we will look at a lot of living translation and other translation. Watch what he says. A tree is identified by its fruits, correct? That's a true statement. Make a tree good, and its fruits will be good. Make a tree bad, and its fruits will be bad. We need to understand that. You have a choice in the matter. You will be determined, or your destiny will be determined by the fruit you bear. This was the truth came and slapped the Pharisees right in the face. They were respectable religious men with great personalities, with great behavior before the people. But Jesus saw through them and what they truly were all about. Look at verse 34. He says, "You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right?" Now, Jesus described these men as snakes. How in the world can people like you say good things and right things? The Pharisees appear to be very religious, but Jesus again saw through their self-righteous behavior. Too often, church members know how to behave, but there's no permanent change. There's no change. Watch what the Bible says. For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. In other words, you can act like a good Christian. You know how to behave yourself while you are in church. But yet, when you get outside of church, you have something else to say. And all people have to do is watch your step. See what kind of fruit you are producing in your life, and see whether or not are you a changed person. It will determine what kind of fruit you're bearing. Watch what 35 says. A good person produces good things from the treasures of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasures of an evil heart. See, one or the other may speak for you. See, you can't hide who you actually are. Sooner or later, you will be discovered as a Christian or an evildoer. And I tell you this, you must give an account according to verse 36. You must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. You understand that? Just having good behavior won't get it in the eyes of the Lord. The view of a good church member can reflect the same views of the Pharisees. Most good Christians believe that good behavior is all needed, is all they need in their Christian walk. They behave well until something goes wrong. Or questions are raised about their true motives. They act all right. They are happy and smiling and shaking everybody's hands. But let something go wrong. Let the slightest little thing happen. Or question them about a certain thing that has transpired in their lives. And yet they can become notorious, evil-hearted. People ready to cut you down because all you are doing is trying to help them see who they actually are. Your good behavior will not get you to heaven. The Pharisees wanted to make a good showing among their religious friends. We want to impress folk, bro, Willie. We want to win people. And the Pharisees were experts in this. If you look at Matthew chapter 23, verses 5 through 7, watch what the scripture says. It says, everything they do is for what? A show. They do it for a show. Are there Christians like that today? That are only doing this for show? Watch what he says. On their arms they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside. And they wear extra long tassels on their robes. Watch. And how they love to sit at the head of the table at banquets and in the most prominent seats in the synagogue. They enjoy the attention, they enjoy being noticed. They enjoy people picking them out as something special, but yet underneath all of that, they aren't real. Too many of us play the game, but we are not real with ourselves nor with God. Therefore, if you can't be real with God and can't be real with yourself, how can you be real to your other brothers and sisters? It's just the truth. It's just being real. That's what we should be about. They want to make a good showing, but they weren't real. They were liars. Are wolves in cheap clothing. Being a true believer is the mission of the disciples of Christ. This mission is a requirement made by the Messiah. Simple behavior mortification is not the way of a true Christian. Change and more change and even more change is the walk the Christian should walk. Yet it seems the mission in life for many is simply is to behave right. Hey, I am a professional. You know, when we are in professional circles, we like to use that terminology to express how good we are. We are professionals and we conduct ourselves like professionals.
You can train a dog to act right, but inside he's still a dog. I'm just being real, folks. I'm just being real. I'm just telling you the truth. And if you don't like it, that's your ball. You got to play with it. You know, I need have no reason to feel sorry about the truth, because God commended me to teach that truth and to share it with you to the best of my ability. We need to understand that too many of us are playing games with God, and we can't possibly win this game playing with God. We have to get real about our Christianity and start living according to the way God wants us to live, or we will die in our sins. You may be able to fool the person next to you, but you cannot deceive God. Just need you for folk to be real. Pharisees have become professional deceivers. And their long tassels and their prayer boxes. Look how much I study. Look how much I pray. You know, we have a lot of preachers like that. I was told the other day by a preacher, and I'm going to give you this example. This preacher told me he was of the denominational world. He said he went to another older preacher for counseling. And as he was sitting there, opening himself up, telling this man about his issues, the preacher made a pass at him. Huh? Here it is. You're supposed to be a religious leader. Supposed to be encouraging people. And yet you making passes at younger men? What kind of preacher are you? Let me tell you another story, another example. A few years ago, I invited one of my friends back home to come up here and to spend a couple of days with me. He came up and we played ball together. We ran females together. We did a lot of things together. He was a friend. But, and the thing, we both went into the ministry. You know, so we have something in common. He went into the denominational world. I became a minister in the Church of Christ. Well, I soon discovered, after just a few hours of being with him, that nothing had changed about his life. He was still at 50 plus years old talking about women. Come on, bro, it's time to change that thinking and start getting real with Jesus. See, we want to give good behavior and show people that we're all right. And I went and visited some of my relatives, and they told me, oh, Reverend so-and-so is just a good man. Huh. That's because you don't know Reverend so-and-so. He gave you the good behavior deal. Huh. He wanted to look good and impressive that he can continue to lead you, but he wasn't real. It wasn't real, because I discovered he still had the same old trash in his head that we had when we were in high school. And now here we are 50 years later, and he still got the same old trash. What has changed about his life? Absolutely nothing. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, if you don't make a change for the better, not only in behavior, but in your Christian walk, you will go somewhere you don't want to go. Let's make the change. Let's make the change because we love Jesus Christ. Well, some of you may say, God knows who I am.
He knows my weaknesses. But he's such a loving and kind God. He will forgive me if I just ask him to. Do you know the difference between forgiving and repenting? I think some people don't know the difference. Repenting is to turn away from sin and start your walk with God. But if you are a repeat offender, if you kept on and on doing the same old things that you were doing when you were a senior in high school, you hadn't repented of a thing. You just covered it up. You still want to play the game. You still want to be a part of the world, not one that's different from the world. You must understand this today. You must understand this. If you don't care about what other people think about you, understand that you are a significant player in the lives of other people because of your faith in the Lord. You are a light and salt of this world. Listen to what Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13 says concerning this. Now, I chose these different translations simply because of the fact that I wanted to point out some very unique statements that were in them. He says, let me tell you why you are here. Do you want to know why you are here, why you are a Christian? He said, I'm going to let you know. You are here to be salt seasoning that bring out the God favor on this earth. What? You tell me you're not significant? You are salt seasoning that brings out God in other people's lives on this earth. Man, you are special. But yet, if you want to hold on to the old game and play by the old rules, then there is no change in your life. Watch what he says. If you lose your saltiness, how do we lose it? By doing the same old thing over and over and over again and asking for forgiveness when we hadn't repented. That's just being real, folks. Repentance is wanting and desiring to get away from those old things. You lose your saltiness. How will people taste? What? What's that say? How will they taste godliness in your life if you have lost your saltiness? How can you have an effect on them if you are not real? How can you help lead somebody to Jesus when you are playing the same old game? Watch what he says in the next verse. You have lost your youthfulness, huh? And will end up, where, church? Where, church? In the garbage. In the garbage. You want to throw your life away? You want to wind up being trash? Nothing? Nothing? A zero? That's what happens when we lose our godliness. Watch what the next verse says.
Here's another way to put it. You are here to be a light, bringing out the God colors in the world. You have a purpose. You're here to be a light unto the world. God is not a secret to be kept. What are you saying? I got to come down here. Just y'all bear with me. I'll get back up there in a second. God is not a secret for you to hide. Some people go to restaurants, supposed to be Christian, and won't even take time out to thank God for the food that's before them. Huh? Some people never allow their children to see them praying. Huh? We rush to the dinner table and we rush away. Hey, we gobble it up like little pigs and we go never thanking God for what he's blessed us with. Oh, what about that house you're living in? Who gave you the ability to have that home? Do you ever take time out to thank God for a place to live? You ever thought about that? Yeah, what about that car you drive? You ever told your children how important it is to have transportation in the world today? But who gave you the ability to have transportation? And you never thank him for it? You just take it for granted that you deserve this, that you worked hard for this. You wouldn't be anything without God. Tell you, so if you lose it, brothers and sisters, then you lose it all. You are nothing but garbage. Look at the verse. He says, well, go back to the next one, Reggie. I need to see the get finished that. I need to reread that. Now that I have put you, go back to the next one. He says, if I made you a light bearer, you don't think I am going to hide you under a bucket? Do you? I am putting you on a lamp stand. Next. Now that I have put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, do what?
Shine.
Shine. Let folks know that you are appreciative of what God has given you. Let your children know that you are thankful that God has provided a home for you to stay. Let the world know that I am a true believer. I'm being real. I am serious about the God I worship. Don't play with my worship. Elders, don't play with my worship. Church, you should demand that we worship God in spirit and in truth. And if they take anything away from that worship, we need to get rid of it. I'm not afraid of it. They don't need to be elders here no more. If I change something, I don't need to preach here anymore. We need to be real. People need to know us in Africa that we're real. In Huntsville that we're real. All over the nation, when they come to the Northwest Church of Christ, they are going to get real worship. Not according to what we think, but according to the will of God. We are light bearers. God has set us on a hill. We can't be silent about who we worship. We can't be silent about his church. We got to tell the truth like the Bible teaches us. He says, keeping open house. Be generous with your, be generous with what your life. Hey, don't share your lives with others. Let them see and know the God that's in you. Let them see you. By opening up to others, you prompt people to open up with God. This generosity is in heaven. I'm not going to keep you much longer. Y'all bear with me just a few more minutes. This is exactly what the Messiah expects from his people. His people of promise to shine like lights, light on a hilltop to the world. Peter instructs us in this manner. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 13, the Bible says what? First of all, think clearly. Get your thinking right. Behavior won't do it. Behavior won't do it. Just acting right because you are around a bunch of other Christian folks won't get it. We need change. Think clearly. Watch what he said. And what?
Exercise
what?
Self-control.
Wait. Now, Brother Willie, if you keep bouncing back and forth and you keep saying God gonna forgive me because of what I've done, then you are not exercising. Huh? You ain't trying to discipline yourself. At every whim, you run to those things that poison or put out the light or take the saltiness away from you. You got to exercise. You got to work that thing. See, I call myself, you know, I like to work my little yard. I know Brother Stone, one of them fellas that like to work a little yard. And he got a bigger yard than mine, but hey, God bless me with that little yard I have. And man, I want the grass pretty. Why? Because I've been blessed with it. So I get out there and I cut and I edge. And you know, a 300-pound man don't like heat too much, but I like a nice yard. Therefore, I'm going to get out there and work that yard. You know? I like the house being clean, so I'm going to get something done as far as a clean house. I like being clean. I like it. And I'm going to do something about it because God blessed me with this. And I'm going to take care of it and treat it like somebody. I'm asking you to think clearly and exercise those things that God has blessed you with. I'm asking you to make the change, not stick with the same old behavior, not just be a good Christian on Sunday, but throughout the week. That's you to exercise some self-control, some discipline. Get out there and do what you need to do to make the change. Watch what he says. Looking forward to the special blessing. How can you expect to be blessed when you're ruining everything you got? You can't expect to be a blessing. In order to be blessed, you have to be a blessing. In order to be blessed, you have to appreciate what God has blessed you with. If you neglect the blessings, then God's going to take his blessings back and pass it on to someone else that will come to you at the return of Jesus Christ. Obey God because you are his children. Don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know the way, you didn't know any better then. But now you know better now. But I'm telling you. But now you must be holy in everything. Is everything, brother? Should I treat my body as it is the temple of God? Should I take care of me better? Believe me, I am trying. It is a continuous effort, but I am doing the best I can with what I have to take care of me and that which God has blessed me with. Just as God, who chose you to be his children, is holy. Next verse, Reggie. For he himself has said, you must be holy. I mean, that sounds like a command to me, a direct quote, a command. You must be. Huh? You must be holy because I am holy. What is our whole purpose, brothers and sisters? Is it not to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Isn't that our purpose and intent? I want you to be like Jesus. Next verse, Reggie. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no hypocrite. What that mean? He ain't got no respect for you hypocrites. Because you done a few good things just because you know how to act in church don't mean God gonna have special favor on you. It means that you better get yourself together and start living like your Father wants you to live. That's just being real. He says when he judged, he will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time as a foreigner on earth. We must live in reverent fear. The facts are, the Christian walk is a walk of change, which began at baptism. That is the change we all need to be making. One other scripture, and I'm going to close right here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to look at verse number 1 there. Watch Paul as he cries out, please, with the brethren here. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. Have we been called is the question. Yes, we all have. For you have been called by who? God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make alliances for each other's fault because of your love. You know, let me say this as I come down. We all have a few issues. You know, we know Bro Willie ain't perfect. So y'all tolerate him, please. You know, and I'm probably far worse than Bro Willie is. You know, you have to deal with me sometimes because I may be a little hard, but I'm just trying to be real. You know, I may say something that may be offensive, but it's not to hurt anybody or to inflict pain on anyone. I'm still in the learning stages. You know, that's a part of growth. As I learn more, like appreciating what God has blessed me with, you know, I try to do better. See, it's a difference when I'm trying to do better. And, you know, so I want to walk worthy of that calling because God's given me a purpose. He wants me to serve him to the best of my ability. And he wants me to flat out tell the truth. Just tell it like it is. Don't try to cover it up or sugarcoat it. You know, as I said, I'm not a professional speaker. I just go for it. And if it's not true, then, hey, I don't need to be doing this job. All I want you to do is be who God wants you to be. Now, watch what he says again. He says, be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make allowances for each other's fault because of your love. Do we really, really love? Next verse. He says, always keeping yourself united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourself together with peace. Next. He says, watch this. Because God is trying to teach us about oneness here. Unity. And we need to be together if we're going to be effective for the Christ. He says, We are all.
How many bodies?
One. We one body, church. And God didn't establish one, and we got to be a part of that one. Being encouraging other people to be a part of that one, but how can you encourage anybody when you ain't living it yourself? They see you as a phony. They see you saying one thing on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you have a totally different conversation. But Sunday come around, you're ready to get dressed up and run out here and put on the biggest show. Come on, we ain't real through the week. You better keep that and bring it here and repent of that. People know that you are still working on who God wants you to be. Stop being a fake, a phony, a hypocrite. But be real, and let's overcome this. Let's overcome it together because we one body. We one body. We should be concerned about your soul. You should be concerned about our soul. We should be concerned about each other's soul. That's what one body is all about. If my arm hurts, man, I'm concerned. My foot hurt, I'm concerned. Man, if one of you hurt, I should be concerned. Watch what he says. He says, we are one body. We have the same, what?
Spirit.
How, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Same mindset. No division. Don't let no division be among you. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Come on. And we have been called to the same glorious future. Next verse. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. All he's saying, there's one way to be saved. If you've been saved any other way than the way Christ teaches us, then you've been saved the wrong way. Next verse. And there is only one God and Father who is over us all, and where?
In
us all. That's if you are changing. If you are not changing, then God cannot dwell in an unclean house. Don't dwell in no filthy place. Somebody ain't trying to take care and do better. Somebody ain't working towards doing his will. He can't dwell there. Through us all. Next verse. This is where I want us to get. However, he has given each one of us a special. Y'all want to know what that gift is? Y'all want to know what it is? It is the ability to change and become like him. That's your gift. Now, if you want that gift to be multiplied, then you need to get to work. But you have that ability to make a choice to change your life for him. And if you are not willing to change, then you are neglecting the gift that God gave. That's what I want you to see. That's what I want you to understand. Change is important. For the Christian, change is the only way for the Christian. He has to change. I wish I could get into metamorphosis and all that stuff. I'll save that for another time. I might give that back to you this evening. If you come back this evening, I'll share that with you. Because this is how God wants us to be, a metamorphosis. He wants us to change. We need to see this life as a cocoon that we're living. Right now, here you are in this shell. But as soon as that shell breaks open, oh boy, you will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, according to the Corinthian letter. Your life will be brand new. It can be for the worse, or it can be for the better. It's entirely up to you. I'm going to close here. If you're not a Christian this morning, we want to encourage you to become one. How do you become one? You become one by hearing the word of God. The scriptures clearly teach us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, you have to know what to believe in order to get God's blessing, in order to make the true change. You have to know that you need to believe and trust in God's holy word. And when you hear, believe it, then it's time to do some repenting. It's time to say that, hey, I'm going to change this mindset. God has given me something to work with. He's given me the tools, the material to work with. You know, that's just like a carpenter. A carpenter can have all the knowledge in the world. He can have all the tools that he needs to build a house. He can have all the material that he needs to build that house. But if he won't get off his butt and nail one nail, that house will never be built. You will never become a Christian unless you use the tools and the material God has blessed you with. You never will. You don't expect to have a house built and nobody gets out there and build a nail. You can't expect any more from that. See, and a lot of Christians don't want to use what God has blessed them with. They don't want to build. They don't want to grow. It's painful. It's work. It's time consuming. But this time that you spend changing for the better will mean your blessings, your reward, where God is. It's in heaven. So we must make some changes. We must start building to become a better person, more like God. And we need to confess the sweet name of Jesus, our Lord. Because he's the one that gives us the authority to change, you know, to make a difference in our lives. Without him, we are nothing. Oh, we are nothing without Jesus. And then we need to be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. To have all that stuff washed away, to have all that has been built in our lives tore down, that we can start all over again. Brothers and sisters, our change is a new start. And we got to start building upon a better foundation than we built in our past life. All I'm saying is, if you're not a Christian, that's what you need to do to become one. And remain faithful. That's where the real work comes in at. That's where the real struggle. Because our adversary is like a roaring lion walking about looking for the opportunity that he can devour you. I'm saying that's when we really need to get to work to stay ahead of the devil. That's when we really look forward to being better than we were in time past. I'm just encouraging you, let's make the change. Let's stay faithful to God. Let him bless our life. If you're here today, and you need to respond to God. I'm not asking you to respond to me because I can't do no more than pray for you to God. I'm asking you to respond to God because he has the power to change your life. If you're here today and you need to respond to him, this is your time while we stand to sing the invitation song.
I have decided to follow.